according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The thing I want you to see in this scripture is the fact that, verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Our God is a keeping God. So, if we find ourselves in the boat of life, caught in a storm, and Jesus is there with us, we can be assured that he promises to keep us. We are kept by the power of God. And as we trust him, and as we expect and, be at peace because of that, verse 7, it says that the genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, when you trust Jesus in the midst of your storm, your faith is actually to the praise and glory of God. You are glorifying God as you say, I put more trust in the Lord than in my fear of the storm, my fear of the situation. God, I am trusting you to your praise and your glory. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and this really is the core passage that I want to springboard back and forth from in the rest of my message this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to pick it up at verse 32. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he is coming and will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are those who believe to the saving of the soul. In this scripture passage, there's a couple of things I want you to notice. First of all, what we read in Peter, that our genuineness of our faith will be to the praise and glory of God. Here, in this passage, we find in verse 38 that if we draw back from trusting the Lord says, my soul has no pleasure in him. So in other words, our willingness to trust, our willingness to put our confidence in the Lord is an opportunity to either glorify God and honor him or bring him sadness. Bring him sadness. I believe the Lord would want to us and equip us, bring him praise and glory as we trust him. But in this passage, it's being written to some people who had endured great stresses, but now it seemed that maybe life had gotten a little bit easier. Maybe they had become comfortable, maybe even complacent. For he says, in former days, verse 32, in former days, when you first were illuminated, when you first understood the gospel and the message and you came to Christ, you endured a great struggle. You yourselves endured a struggle, and you also were enduring the pain of others who were, as you identified with them and reached out to them. But it seems like perhaps now their struggles were not as intense, and yet the writer to the Hebrews says to them, but please do not cast away your confidence, for you have need of endurance. The need for endurance never ends. It's part of our life. It's part of what we need for faith to trust the Lord. If we have lived very long in life, we have certainly borne the weight of sudden and heavy trials and tests in our life, like these believers, these new believers must have here in the book of Hebrews. But even if it's not the tests of persecution, it could be just the tests of life. I don't probably imagine there's one person in this room that you haven't had an experience in life where suddenly one phone call, one message changes your whole life for a while. Maybe it's a sudden death, a sudden accident, a traffic accident, someone's killed, maybe a stroke, something that has suddenly just changed your life in a moment, and you feel the heaviness of the situation, the trial, the test that comes your way. But you know, we couldn't live that way all the time. Life would just be too burdensome. But God carries us through those heavy tests, and yet there's also the day-to-day challenges of living. I picked up a book here recently Dr. Jeremiah wrote, and it's about just following the Lord and letting the fruit of the Spirit be at work in your life. And he talks about the fruit of perseverance. And he uses the illustration of weightlifting. And apparently, there's some general theory when it comes to weightlifting. If you want to get really strong, you lift really heavy weights a few times. If you want endurance, you lift lighter weights more often. I wouldn't know. I haven't spent a day in my life in a gym. But we've all lifted the weight of life. Sometimes there's heavy times, heavy weights to carry. But generally, throughout life, there's the repetitive lifting of just being faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful in our lives. You have carried the heavy weight of life, and by God's grace, you got through it. But now, in the day-to-day living, the Lord wants us to endure and be faithful to Him. The good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we never lift the weights of life alone. He has come to save us, give us new life in our spirit, so that we can address every situation that comes our way as spiritual men and women. We are made alive inside by faith in Jesus Christ and the presence of His Holy Spirit in us. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Death has no more dominion of us, over us. Oh, we may die physically, but we will live again. Just this past Thursday night at our Awana Club here, we memorized John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, though he dies. We have life in the Lord. As spiritual beings, we need to frequently understand and reevaluate who we are and how we live in the face of the weights that we may carry in life. We need to ask ourselves, what are we defined by? How do we live as spiritual men and women? What defines you this morning? Is it your success or your failure? Your accomplishments or your losses? Is it your age, your height, your marital status, your education, your social standing? Or is it perhaps illness or pain or brokenness? Could be many, many, many things. Disappointments, discouragements, disagreements, setbacks. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 24 that even in the light of coming persecution, don't let it be what defines your reality. Let us be people who are unashamed of who we are in Christ Jesus and live from the spiritual reality that we know. We know we're forgiven. We know we're redeemed. We know we're reconciled unto the Father. We know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we know that we are more than conquerors in Christ, heaven bound, with life that will never, never, never end. So the scriptures both give us warnings about departing from the Lord and our trust in him, and promises and provisions for all who are willing to endure and trust and glorify the Lord in every situation. So with that, as the writer to the Hebrews says, you have need of endurance. I want to encourage you this morning with a few scriptures. So now we're going to just do a bit of flipping here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go back a few pages. I read this morning. I read part of this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1. But if we pick it up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's the encouragement for us to continue. Verse 13, it says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, or may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, this morning, here's our first foundation we stand on. How do we hold true and faithful in these days in which we live? Here's the first one, by being anchored in the Word of God. God has given us the revelation of himself, his truth, and how he would want us to live. Stay in the Word. Just keep soaking in it, feeding on it, reading it, memorizing it, and being encouraged by it. If you can find speakers even on the radio or on television who can add to your knowledge of the Word, please keep digging into it. Please keep growing in it. For me personally right now, I've come across a YouTube program on the TV that's really been challenging me, and it totally surprises me. A few years ago, I used to watch some of those programs of Duck Dynasty with those crazy Robertsons who are just nuttier than fruitcake. But the old dad, Phil, and his two sons, Jace and Alan, do a program now called Unashamed. And they sit and they just talk about hunting and duck hunting and all that stuff yet. But then they get into the Word of God. And I got to tell you, folks, it's been feeding me. Who would have thought that one of those Robertsons could be serious? But they are. It's really good. So I want to encourage you, be feeding on the Word of God. This is our foundation, one of our first ones to be able to strong. Let's look at another one. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, a few pages further back. How does God help us stand? Hebrews 6 and verse 18. Let's see, I'll pick it up at verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We have a hope, an anchor of the soul. And what is one of the hopes we have in this passage? It's number one, God cannot lie. Do you want to endure? And you're in the Word? Here's one of the true things. God cannot lie. When you read Scripture, God cannot lie. What he promises, God cannot lie. And this is an anchor for our soul. Now, when those disciples were caught in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, they felt like they were being totally tossed and driven by the wind. They were hoping that they could probably find a sheltered bay to stop, to park in, to put their boat in, to drop anchor, get that anchor down into a rock somewhere where they could hold strong and secure in the storm. For you and I, because of our faith in the Lord and our trust in Him, it says, we have an anchor for the soul, both steadfast and sure, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Folks, our anchor doesn't go down into the rock. Our anchor goes up into the very presence of God. We are anchored to the Lord, anchored to His promises, anchored to His character and His nature. And when the storm hits, what does the Lord do? He lifts us. He lifts us in our spirit, in our thoughts. He will carry us by the anchor we have in Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is all encouragement when we face trials and tests, both the heavy weights, the things that happen, and the day-to-day struggles. God wants to lift us as we trust Him and walk with Him. Let's look at another one. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just going back and forth here, a few pages back and forth in these passages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is a passage about the coming of the Lord, how fearsome it will be for those who have not followed the Lord. But it says in verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle." Stand fast. Stand fast. We have been called by God. God established before the foundation of the world that we would be sanctified through, that we'd be saved through sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. It's part of God's plan, right from before time began, that you and I would be changed and transformed through Jesus Christ. And we can stand fast and hold strong in that confidence this morning. I want to just go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and conclude here. Hebrews 10, just another encouragement. We read verse 32 and on, but I want to just jump back to verse 19. Here's another encouragement for us. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His temple, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." We have boldness to come before the Lord, to run to Him, to pour our hearts out before Him, to be honest and real before Him. This is how we can stand in the days in which we live. Then going on in this book, if you get to chapter 11, it's the stories of the heroes of the faith. We could read those, and we're encouraged by their example. Then we get to chapter 12. I spoke on this a couple weeks ago. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We have a little glimpse of what Jesus was looking forward to in the fact that He knew He would be seated with His Father in heaven following His resurrection. But I believe as well that Jesus was looking forward to spending eternity with you, with me, as we have find ourselves faithful and trusting in the Lord through every aspect of life. So He said, "Let us run with endurance this race that is set before us, rejoicing in the Lord, holding steady and strong in Him." So my encouragement to you this morning is this. We are facing some very interesting times. We're facing some challenging times here in our own local church. We're facing definitely challenging times with the pandemic, the economy, the challenges that come with it. But I think if we're honest and we look at Scripture, we also have to admit that we are facing some times that could clearly indicate the return of the Lord. And the pressures and strains and conflicts that are going to be building with that. If there ever was a time that we were committed to hold fast, to be strong in the Lord, to be steady in Him, now is the time. As we face transitions here in our own local church, I want to encourage you, hold steady. Hold fast to the Lord. As we face situations in our community and in the world around us, in Christ, hold fast. Don't run. Don't give up. Don't become faint-hearted. Stay strong in the Lord. We need to be strong to be able to face the tests that come. One of the things I see happening, if you've been watching the news at all, that there is a stronger and stronger sense of, there's a stronger and stronger censoring going on of what is being able to be said in public. And many people's voices, if they're not totally politically correct, are being cut out of social media. There will be a stronger censoring coming of even us who want to speak of the Lord and of His faithfulness. I want to encourage you folks, don't give up. Don't be crushed by what the world wants to push you into. Let us be strong in the Lord, and in fact, let's become stronger. I have to be honest with you. By nature, I am an upholder. What that means is I like keeping the rules. I've never had a speeding ticket because I just drive the speed limit. I've never had a ticket for the... Well, some of you are laughing. I've never had a ticket going through a stop sign because I will stop at a stop sign in the middle of the Sahara Desert. That's my nature. But you know what? As the world starts saying, you stop talking about Jesus. You cannot speak of the things of the Lord. You cannot pray in public. You cannot read the scriptures in public. You know what, folks? I am going to have to make an adjustment. I am going to have to start to break the law. And so will you. So will you. If you are going to be faithful to the Lord, if you are going to endure to the end, honoring God, and blessing Him and being a witness and testimony to the Lord. I believe God wants to encourage us. Let's not be afraid. Let's rise up in the strength of the Lord, in the power of His Spirit, and the assurance of His Word, in that God cannot lie. God is faithful to us. Let's pray, and then I want to sing one last song this morning with you. Our gracious Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, that Your promise of faithfulness, Your promise of truth in Christ, Your promise to us of being with us to the end has not failed and will not fail. And that, Lord God, as we face the encroachment of a godless world attempting to censor out the truth of the knowledge of God and of faith in Jesus Christ, as we face that, Lord, I thank You that You're going to be there to help us. Lord, may we begin to, Lord, rise up in strength, in courage, and in faithfulness to You. Lord, let us not fall prey to these pressures, but, Lord, be strong in You in these days. Lord, I don't know what's coming ahead, but I do know that You've promised to be faithful to us. Glorify Your name through our faith, being faithful to the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's my last illustration. If you've ever done any exercise in your life, if you've never been to a weight room, I want to encourage you, now is the time to start lifting the weights of faith. Faith-building exercises. Read the Word. Memorize the Word. Practice it in life. Practice it in how you speak. Practice it in how you think. Keep building endurance, endurance in faith, because someday soon, we might be called on to do some heavy lifting. And that is not the time to begin to prepare. We need to prepare now for the heavy lifting of faith and trust in the Lord. Here's the last song. This is a song I go to a lot lately, and I've sung it here a few times recently. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Stand together with us.
Make a way where there seems to be no way.